Welcome to Fulfilled, a podcast focused on applying proven methods for finding fulfillment and hacking happiness. I'm your host, Roger J. Comstock. All right, my friends. Well, welcome back to the Fulfilled podcast. I'm so grateful that each and every one of you are here. Honestly, today it is such a privilege. I have one of my very favorite people on the entire planet that's joining us. He's been one of my best friends for years and years and years since I was a little kid in high school. And he's more like a brother than a best friend. I mean, I just absolutely love this guy. And he's not only a good person, he's a great example to everybody who knows him and an exceptional leader, which is why I've wanted to have him on the show. Anybody listening to this probably has heard of or seen Vivint, the security systems or the solar panels, huge company. And Durfee, this guy, Jason Durfee, who's joining us today, has been working at Vivint since 2012 and has moved his way up all the way to one of the partners. Went from just selling door to door to being a manager and then a regional and then a senior regional and then a partner. And I'm just so proud to have him as a friend. He's accomplished some exceptional things in his life. He is the husband of an incredible person and the father of four beautiful kids. And so really excited for each of you guys to be able to learn from him and what he has to share today. He studied finance at BYU and loves being outside. Right before the show today, we were out playing some golf, and Durf beat me. So I'm surprised he's not wearing that as a trophy. We got him a hat. He's not wearing the hat right now, but is every time we play, he'll have to wear it. It's good. As just kind of some bragging rights. I love it. Well, Durf, welcome to the show, man. I'm so grateful you're here.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. I appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, you're welcome. I mean them. I mean them all. You deserve them. Tell the listeners really quick. I mean, if they wanted to learn a little bit more about you or what you're doing, is there any place they can go? Is it Instagram, a website, Facebook? What do you think would be best?
No, there. I mean, go to Vivint.com to learn about Vivint. And I keep a pretty low profile online. So if you, I mean, probably call me or text me, and that would probably be the best way.
I love it. Be the best use of somebody's time. Anything you can learn from Durfee will make you a better person.
This is exciting to do because it's totally out of the norm for me. So yeah, I don't have a big presence online.
Well, honestly, Durf is a humble individual. He's accomplished a lot in his life, done some really, really exciting things. And so the fact that we all get to learn from him today is a privilege. It'll be fun to hear what he has to share. But tell the listeners really quick kind of why you do what you do and what your why is behind everything in life.
Ooh. Well, it depends on what I do. And as far as just my priorities, probably is why I do what I do, and with work and everything else. To me, there's four F's, I think, that basically everything comes down to, and it's faith, family, friends, and freedom. And if you boil, you know, my whole life and everything that I spend my time doing or that I'm wanting, or, you know, it comes down to those things. And so, yeah, I think my family is my number one priority, and providing a great life for them and being able to spend meaningful time with them is really the thing that keeps me going. And you know, close friends become like family, and creating opportunities and freedom for those people is what keeps me going.
I love that. Absolutely love that. So faith, family, friends, and freedom. How did those values become kind of what anchors you to everything that you're doing? Instead, there's a ton of different kinds of people, and everybody values different things. And so how did you get to putting these as a priority?
I think that they mostly were priorities from just when I was young, honestly. And it's it's kind of, you know, stayed that way throughout my life. I think I'm a big believer in God and believe that, you know, we're all children of God and have divine potential. And not to get too religious, but I think that,
Oh, you're fine. You can get
you know,
religious. That's just fine.
no,
We love it.
okay. I think that, you know, we're all here for a much bigger purpose than just waking up and going to work and living day to day. And so I've always believed that and still believe it more now than probably ever before. And at least for me, a huge part of faith is family. And so those go hand in hand. And there's no one that is more important to me or that I want to spend more energy and time and focus on than my family, and my wife and kids, and then it extends from there. But yeah, I think it's just something that's it's similar to you, Roger. Those, I guess they've just always been like the most important priorities to me. And as I've gotten married and then become a dad, those priorities just become bigger and more important. And then I guess I would add a fifth one on there, and that's fun. I'm still a big kid at heart and having fun and all that I do, like with my friends, with my family, with my faith, you know, creating freedom to have fun and to be able to enjoy life is huge. Like I love what I do for work. But what I love about what I do is the people that I get to work with. So creating opportunities for people and freedom for more people is what keeps me enjoying waking up and going to work and having problems to solve and people to help. So
I love that, Durf. Thanks so much for sharing. I appreciate that a lot. So we've added to the 4Fs 1/5, a bonus one, fun, which describes Durfy. When you're around him, you want to be better. Your life will be brighter. He's just a good person to the core. And so it's no wonder that he's been able to accomplish what he's been able to do. I want to highlight some things from Durfy's life because we've been friends for so long. I was actually with Jason the first summer that he went out selling. I was actually selling too. With another one of our good friends named Doug. And we were all out in the middle of nowhere, Albuquerque, New Mexico. And it was really hard and really hot. And it was a challenging experience. This was years ago. I don't know how many years ago, long time. And I remember at first, Jason here did not like selling door to door at all. We were knocking together for a while and he was feeling very frustrated. And on the verge of going home. And the reason I want to highlight this is because I always say consistency compounds and character is found in consistency. And so the reason I mention this is I want listeners to understand Durfee didn't just get into selling and he wasn't just a prodigy and loved it from the get-go. He's worked really hard at doing what he does and serving people and giving back and making a positive dent in the world. And so, Durf, how did you do that? And how would you help other people understand how they can do something similar?
Yeah, you're going back in time quite a ways. That's 18 years ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that
Does
is
that
long.
make you feel old?
That's crazy, dude. Yeah, we've been friends for a long time. That's
That
nuts.
makes me feel old.
Not even half my life. That's wild.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I think just a couple of core principles probably. One is you know, if you commit to something, then just see it through. And like you said, the compound effect or the law of the harvest, you'll reap what you sow. You put enough effort into something, then you're bound to improve. And you might not be the best guy at it. I'm still not. But you'll get better. And, you know, at that time, that was, we were young. We were just out of high school. And I had no intention of, you know, doing this at 36 years old and thinking that this was where my life was going to take me. But I had an LDS mission to pay for. And so I just thought that that was the only reason why I was out there to do it. And I think that whatever you're you guys are doing in life, don't give yourself a plan B, you know, while you're there doing it. Like, don't look at other opportunities or quitting or whatever. Just see the task through that you're doing. And then there are, I call them critical, you know, inflection points in your life where you do have to pause and evaluate where you're at and do some reflection and some praying maybe, and decide what you're going to go do next. But while you're in the heat of things and while things are hard, you shouldn't be looking at other options. You just got to put your head down and go to work and do the hard thing. And that's a common theme, you know, with you, Roger, and everybody that I've ever known that I want to have similar success to in terms of their relationships, their family life, their career. They've done some pretty hard things and they see them through. So I think that's all it was. I don't know. Just don't quit.
I love that. That's really meaningful advice, I think, for anybody listening. I think when life gets hard, people sometimes feel like something's wrong and they need to get out of the discomfort. They shouldn't be feeling that way, or that what they're going through shouldn't be hard, that everything should be easy. And like you said, that's never the case. For anybody who's accomplished anything meaningful, there's always been some sort of sacrifice involved. And that's for everything that's important to us. The four F's that you described, right? Like our family, we will have to sacrifice for our freedom. We have to sacrifice for people that we love, relationships, positions that allow us to be able to give back. So I really appreciate everything that you've shared. You brought up a couple things that I think are really important that we can kind of highlight here. One of them was this idea of when you commit to something, see it through. I want to dive into that in just a little bit here. You also talked about not having a plan B, which I love. That's right from Arnold Schwarzenegger too. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, when people think of him, they just think of like this big, strong bodybuilder. But anything he says he does or that he wants to do, he'll go do it. It's crazy. The guy's crazy, man. It's like, I want to be the governor of California, and he just does it. I want to be the world's best bodybuilder. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go into Hollywood and be an actor, and he just does it. And there's no plan B, right? And no matter how hard it gets, he's just committed. He sees that in his mind. And so I want to ask you really quick some advice for those listening. How would you suggest when somebody is going through something hard to see it through, to not give up? Because that's really where the rubber hits the road.
Yeah. That's a good question. That's a really good question. I think that, you know, the how to see it through. I'm trying to think of the best way to I really do think, Raj, you just hit it on the head, but your relationship with pain and discomfort is probably the most important thing. Like, know that it's supposed to be hard and embrace it. And the chances are, the harder the task, the fewer people there are that are willing to do it. And the rewards for the ones that do are going to be that much greater. And so, I've seen in my career, I work with a lot of young people, right? Like hundreds of young people. And it's crazy because, you know, quitting is a habit, and doing hard things is a habit too. And the ones that get in the habit of seeing things through and doing hard things consistently, they really do become the most successful people, you know, in every industry. And so I don't know. I think that what you said is just look at pain in the right frame of mind. And realize that if you want to be really good at anything, or if you want to have the, you know, the financial results that maybe some of the people that you look up to have, or the qualities of, if you look at, you know, any really successful person, then you have to go through the hard things that get you there. And so, yeah, I think that that's just it is. Again, don't quit and if you are consistent enough and just show up enough, then you're going to get the reward. So
I love that. Thank you very, very much
that's
for
not the
sharing.
best answer, but that's a it's a good question.
It is the best answer. That was a perfect answer. Let's talk about a couple of things that I think are really important, especially today, for people to understand. When we think about success, most people immediately think money, right? Their mind goes to, I'm going to be successful, and that means money. That is a mug that will become empty if that's all that somebody's chasing. You are someone who, in my opinion, has been able to be truly successful. And when I look at, there's a lot of very, very wealthy people who are not happy, and they're not successful at all. They're miserable people, selfish people, in some cases. Then there's a lot of people with a lot of money that are very kind and good. For you, how would you define success and happiness? Because we use those words so frequently, right? In talking to people, I want to be happier, I want to be successful, but what does it really mean? What are your thoughts?
That's a good question too. I think being really content with what you have, to an extent, right? Like if you're content to the point that your progress stops, then your happiness and your fulfillment and your joy and your growth is probably going to stop with it. So it's not being content to the point where you stop growing, but it's being content with the effort that you're putting in every day and the relationships that you have. I love a quote that, it's talking about money specifically, and it actually is talking about provident living. But I think that just success in general, financial success, is just joyfully living within your means. And some of the most successful people that I've ever known, maybe aren't the most successful in terms of the world. They're school teachers, or they are janitors, or they're not wealthy financially, but they're happy, and they don't, have this want for all of these things, and they're just content with the things that they do have, and they go out and make a difference and have really meaningful relationships and beautiful lives. And I don't think that wealth and happiness are, always in perfect correlation. In fact, I think sometimes they're some of the wealthiest people are the most unhappy, and some of the people who have maybe the least, they really are some of the happiest people. So, yeah, I think it's just being happy with what you have, and not chasing, what you see on social media or what other people have, or money, like things don't make you happy. I think relationships and people do. And if you use the things that you've been given, money included, to enhance relationships, then that's when it can help in your happiness. But that's not the most popular opinion in today's, world. And but I do think it's true. I think happiness and joy have very little to do with money.
I could not agree more. And popular or not, it's the truth. And that's what I love so much. There's really not no speculating, like, I don't know if this makes you happy or this doesn't. We were able to see, actually, so my book is coming out in a couple of months, which I'm so excited about. It's called The Fulfillment Formula. It's been a long time coming, but I actually did a lot of research on what you just talked about. And the research is all around kind of the effects of gratitude and how giving affects us in our lives and growth. Those three G's, gratitude, growth, and giving, are the catalyst for people experiencing true fulfillment in life, true happiness, true satisfaction with everything that's going on in their life, their business, their relationships. And if any one of those three G's is out of whack, so maybe you're not growing, right? Then you're going to feel stagnant. you're not grateful, like you said, I love what you just mentioned. I'm going to kind of rehash it here for listeners because it's so important. You talked about how it's important to be content with what you have, but also the fact that it's okay to want more, but to be grateful for what you have. That's a
better way to say what I said.
No, I love what you said. Absolutely loved it. Because I think it's important. Everybody's constantly looking to have more, 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 keep up with the Joneses, and it makes them feel insignificant, and they're constantly living in comparison, and they're unhappy because of that. And so gratitude is super important. I love that, Durf. Thank you. How do you think an individual would go about creating a lifestyle that he or she wants? What's kind of the first step? I know from you, I'll highlight some things that you do, but I want you to go first.
How do they go about getting the lifestyle that they want? Is that what you said?
Yeah, creating a lifestyle they want. So maybe they're listening to this thinking, yeah, oh, I want, you know, that this type of lifestyle.
I think that you're very rarely going to make good decisions if they are short term. And so I think, you know, for my kids and the people who come to me for advice, I think probably the greatest piece of advice that I can give them is define in detail who you want to be and what your life looks like in 5 years from now or in 10 years from now. And then reverse engineer that plan. And, you know, right now, get started doing the things that are going to get you to the ultimate destination. Maybe it's as far as careers go, maybe it's doing what you're doing, Raj. And it's, you know, maybe it's a surgeon or a lawyer or a dentist or a banker. Maybe it's the top salesman of an organization. But I think if you decide what you want to become and then reverse engineer the plan, really what happens with a lot of people is somewhere along the line, another opportunity comes and they are going to be really successful because they're being deliberate in their actions. And then others, you know, the vision stays and they go out and accomplish great things that they wanted to, you know, the whole time along. But either way, you're going to be better off if you're setting long-term plans and then taking actions that, you know, already dictate for you in the short run what you have to do every day to get there.
Oh, I love that. That is just absolutely amazing advice and insight there. I think maybe we'll just kind of dive into this for just a second. When we talk about long-term planning, I think that's so important. I'm just going to fix my light here. There we go. I think so many people, especially in the world that we live in right now, they want everything instantaneously. We can type something into Google and get 400,000 results in milliseconds. And so this idea of long-term planning is tough for an individual to internalize or to habitualize, to start actually creating consistency in. And so one of the things I know that you do very, very well is you have some extra helpful habits. And those habits, I always say that discipline is hard in the beginning and then it turns into a habit. And then that habit becomes part of you, who you are, your character. And for you, ever since high school, even you had an old Nokia phone, this brick you took everywhere, and everything was in your calendar all the time. All right. It had to be in your calendar. And it's been that way for years and years and years. And so I think that's important. I love this idea of going out 5 years and reverse engineering in 10 years. Do you feel like you've done that personally in your life as well?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I had no intentions of being where I am right now and doing what I am doing, to be honest. And so it's a result of, I was going to go to law school and do family estate planning and adoptions. Yeah. And, you know, when you don't have, a way to pay for school and to pay for a wife and for life, you have to find something to do. And so this was, for me, it was a means to an end, and it was just kind of an engine to get me to where I thought I wanted to be. And it was really important that I hit goals and was able to get to where I could do law school and support my wife and I, and then opportunities present themselves and you have those inflection points where you look at your situation and you make decisions and your plans might change. And that's that's perfectly okay. But if you're, again, making short-term decisions, like for example, you're chasing money and dollar signs for the next great opportunity, it's really not going to get you ultimately to where you want to be. And you, whatever, you know, you're not going to get the education to be a surgeon or a lawyer or a, or the training to be a really good electrician or, you know, a top sales guy if you're constantly chasing dollar signs to anything that comes through your social media feed, or, you know, what you, the next best thing. And so you, you set a long-term plan, and then if opportunities present themselves, then you can pivot. But yeah, I'm grateful for, you know, as far as a career, what, where I'm at and what's happened. Even though it was not the plan for me, it came as a result of setting, you know, this long-term plan and going to work for it. So.
I love that, Durf. Thanks for sharing, man. Last, just a couple more questions. We're running low on time. It's crazy how fast time goes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Almost 30 minutes. It's nuts. We'll ask just a couple more here and then we'll be on our way. But Gall, I'm just so grateful to have you here. What a treat. So, trying to decide what we should focus our time on here. Maybe this, a couple ideas. What have been some of the most difficult challenges that you've encountered in life, and how have you been able to overcome them? Because somebody in your position has encountered challenges, struggles, right? And so, and anybody that wants to be successful will not be immune to those things, right? And so what have you faced and how have you overcome them?
I think for me, I can't think of like some really big, you know, career threatening hurdles that came in my way or whatever. For me, it was just all of those decisions of like sacrifice. And, you know, again, I think of kids often now because I have four of them and they're growing up in this world that we live in. And I worry that the young people today and even our generation, Roger, we're not that old, but I think that people want to have, you know, the success of people that they look up to, but they don't want to go through the work and the time that it takes to get it. And so, you know, it was a lot of years for, in my specific opportunity and industry, it was a lot of years in a row of being a full-time student and then giving up the whole summer to go and knock doors in different locations around the country. And, you know, family members and friends all thinking like, man, why in the world is he still doing that job? And, you know, having a great career and job and opportunity and making really good money and still having people come up and say, hey, when are you going to get a grown-up job? And when are you going to, you know, do an actual career? And so, you know, the sacrifices that I think it took all along the way were probably the biggest hurdles. And to me, and this is maybe a lesson too, they didn't feel like they were huge challenges or huge like mountains to climb or decisions to make, because I already had made that long-term decision. And, you know, so maybe an example is just, even 4 months is not long-term, but take that decision and saying, hey, I got to make this much over the next 4 months, because this is what my wife and I are planning on doing with our income that we make. And this is what I've committed to do for my team. And so when a family member calls and invites you to Lake Powell or to go do something really fun, there's not a hard decision to make in that because you've already committed to something. And so I really do. I think that, you know, motivation doesn't matter at all. I think that's a overhyped thing that nobody, like, it really, successful people don't care about motivation. Commitment is what matters. And if you focus on the things that you're committed to, you don't have to make hard decisions and have these huge challenges. Sometimes we create huge challenges for ourselves because we're not committed to anything. And if we just are committed to something, first, then a lot of like the would be huge challenges that get in our path are already overcome. And then I think with a lot of other things, maybe more personal things, just prayer and faith and having a relationship with God and, you know, experiences, knowing that he has a plan for you and that you are so much more than whatever challenge you're going through, and that those things are put in your path to make you ultimately stronger, and to learn and to grow. And I think those two things are probably what have helped me get through the hard times, even though there's not like specific monumental challenges that come to mind when you ask that.
Thanks for sharing. Gosh, I wish we had a couple hours because this is so helpful, I think, for people. I really do. I think this is really, really meaningful. Just to kind of highlight a couple of these ideas that you've shared, Brian Tracy is awesome. And he's mentioned this idea before. He says, do what is hard and life will be easy, and do what is easy and life will be hard. You know, and that's the truth. He's also the man who coined the phrase, eat that frog. You know, everybody has things that they don't want to do, and doing the thing you don't want to do most early before any of the other things allows you to always get what you want in life. People who don't get what they want out of life tend to put off the things that they don't want to do. And you're really good at prioritizing your time and putting first things first. One of the best pieces of advice that I've ever been given from an individual was somebody who'd done, they did 250 million online, which was super cool. And he's a good friend. And he told me, you have to learn to say no to things. Like you said, when you're committed, because a lot of people are just kind of yes men or yes women, right? Oh, I should go do this. Yes. Your friend says you should do this or invest in this. Yes, I should. But it's really powerful to be able to have priorities and commitments and to be able to say, I would love to do that, but I can't, and no. And that's really helpful. I love that. I've got one more question for you, but any thoughts about that particularly before we move into the next question?
Oh yeah. I mean, I just
please
couldn't agree more. Like, you do have to learn to say no, and you have to learn to ignore phone calls and text messages. Like, it's true. You know, the world is so fast, and there's so many things that will take up 100% of your time if you allow it. And so you have to be, you know, specific and conscious about the things that you're committed to, and make sure that you're living up to those commitments. And that means that you have to say no, like, and you have to be deliberate about your time. And to be a really good husband, to be a really good father, to be a really good professional in your career, to be a good, you know, member of your church, like all of it. You can't let everybody else dictate your schedule and your life. So I just agree with you.
I love that, man. Yeah, we're supposed to act instead of let everything else kind of act upon us. I love that. That's great. Thank you so much, Durf. I love you, man. This has been so good to have you here. There's a million things we could talk about. So maybe in the future we'll have to do a round two, but this has been really great. Last question I have for you is, what advice would you give to your 20-year-old self? If you could go back, you and I were great friends at that age still. So what would you say to us back then?
I think I kind of already said it, and I really just, maybe it's just lately what's been top of mind, but I think that people have to know that anything meaningful in life takes a lot of effort, but not only that, it takes a lot of time. And so you got to be patient with yourself, and you have to, like, the lie that success comes in a short amount of time is just that. Like, I think it's a lie. and whatever you're doing, stay the course. And with that, I think that, you know, I have role models, a lot of them, and I look at their lives and the things that they've done. And from the time that you're 18 until, call it 40, maybe it's more than that, maybe it's less, but you really should be doing something really, really difficult. Like you should be doing really hard things. If that's law school or medical school, or if it's no school at all, but building a business and becoming the very best in your field, those years will pay dividends for the rest of your life. And if you're disciplined and you're committed to doing really hard things, especially during those years, then you get to have freedom more than anything else, and you know, opportunities that a lot of other people don't get to have because they just kind of coasted through those critical years. So that's one thing that I'm going to be preaching to my kids, and that I would have told my 20-year-old self, even, you know, I feel stronger about it now than I ever have. So.
I love it, man. Thank you for sharing. Really, really appreciate all of your incredible thoughts and your insight. So grateful to have you in my life as a friend. You're just as good as they come, dude. So thank you so much for being who you are and for making such a positive impact in the world, in what you're doing. I think it's awesome. Grateful that you were here. Anything that you want to share before we kind of sign off here?
Nope, that's it. Love you, Raj. Thanks for letting me be on.
Tons of love for you too, man. Look out soon.
Hey, appreciate it.